Tim McNally. Welcome to the Dine, Wine, and Spirits Show, NOLA Drinks Edition. Here's your host, Brian Diaz.
All right, everybody, welcome to the program. Brian Diaz here with you. Welcome to the unofficial start of the weekend here in the Crescent City. Welcome to the tricentennial of the great city of New Orleans. Yes, friends, here at NOLA Drinks. Well, we've been doing this for about a year and a half here on NOLA Drinks, and nobody has written a scathing tell-all book about us yet. Just think about what that's going to look like after 4 years, huh? If it goes that long. Hey, we got a good show coming up for you today. We are going to be chatting. Our featured interview is with not one, but two bartenders of the year. That's right, we got two. And that is Kimberly Patton Bragg, who is currently at Latitude 29, and Renee Pellegrino, who is at Mimi's there in the Bywater. Latitude 29 is there on South Peters in the French Quarter. And so Kim was recently recognized as Bartender of the Year by New Orleans Magazine. Good friend of the show here, Tim McNally, of course, who hosts the Dine, Wine, and Spirits Show Monday through Wednesday and Friday, 3 to 5, the same time slot, same station. Had a big hand in that, naming Kim the Bartender of the Year, so that's pretty cool. And also Where You At Magazine, in conjunction with Sky Vodka, named Renee Bartender of the Year. And so it's a great, they had never met. I always assume that these people know each other too. Like, it's a pretty small service industry and bartending community, that sort of thing here in town, and they hadn't met. But so it was really a lot of fun. And it was one of the things I said to them lately, anyway, as far as our featured interviews go, we've been pretty dude heavy. Pretty dude heavy. So it was nice to have a couple women who are fantastic bartenders, great pros, share a little bit about their background, share a little bit about, we talk about drinks, of course. We talk a little bit about what it's like to be a woman in the bartending industry in New Orleans. Great conversation, two great guests. So that's a lot of fun. That's coming up in a little while. Yes, friends, it is the tricentennial here. We are going to be celebrating all year long, as we always celebrate stuff here in New Orleans, and we do it really, really well, don't we? Yes, we do. And it's the tricentennial of the city, and there's stuff going on all year long. So we'll be talking about it all year long here at NOLA Drinks, you bet. And these things, as we do every year, we go through the holiday season, and the holiday season more or less ends this Saturday, which is 12th night, 12th day of Christmas, and that really marks the end of the holiday season, but we just step right into carnival season. So those of us who live here know this, right? I'm explaining this for folks who don't live here and maybe don't know this stuff. So we just move right into carnival season, and Mardi Gras is a little bit early-ish this year. It's going to be February 13th. So we ramp this up pretty quick. We have some parades. I'll get to that in just a second going on. And it all really starts on Saturday. So we just sort of phase from one season of celebration to another. And the whole backdrop, why I'm bringing this up, is that with the tricentennial of the city going on, that's going to form the backdrop really to a lot of stuff, including, of course, carnival. I know even some of the parades that are going to kick off on Saturday are going to have a tricentennial theme to them, and we'll have all kinds of stuff going on all year long. We'll be talking about that, and of course, we'll tie the world of drink and food into that, as we often do, because we know here in New Orleans, the world of drink and food is completely tied in, and it's been that way for 300 years. So there you go. Tricentennial. Happy tricentennial, New Orleans, and a happy new year to you, my friends out there. I hope everyone had a great and safe and warm, man, for us. Okay, I know if you're listening in another part of the world out there that you're thinking, I'm going to complain about the cold here for a second, but we've had lows in the 20s overnight, and we've had about 3-4 days of that in a row. We got a couple more to go. Looks like it's going to warm up on Saturday, but wow, for us that's pretty cold, and we're just not necessarily equipped to handle that, both from a biological wiring standpoint. Most of the people here don't like that level of cold, and just infrastructure. Fortunately, we haven't had a lot of precipitation to accompany that, so we didn't get snow like we did a few weeks ago, or a sleet or anything like that. It's been relatively dry, but it's pretty cold. So I hope everybody has stayed warm. They all stayed warm enough on New Year's, and I hope that pets, plants, and pipes are protected, as we like to say, as you listen to the evening news and the weather. So two more days of that to go, and then we should be pretty good to go there and warm right back up. And who knows what we're going to get? Probably get up to 80 degrees at some point here in the near future, as we often do. But yeah, friends, as I mentioned, a whole slew of events is always kicking off here this Saturday, 12th night, January 6th. One of the great ones, of course, is the heralds, if you will, of Carnival, as they're known, the Funny 40 Fellows, which goes back to 1981. That's a really fun, satirical, it's not really a parade. They board one streetcar. They pack 70 folks onto one streetcar, which is about as much as that streetcar can hold. It starts at 7 p.m. this Saturday at Willow the Willow Street Car Barn there uptown. And then basically what it does is it rolls all the way that way, basically from South Carrollton, heads to Lee Circle, turns around, and then finishes where it started. And of course, as some of the guys and gals there, are going to be, they'll have the tricentennial theme going on and some of the different costumes and stuff. And that's always a really fun satirical parade. There's also a new crew in town rolling also on a streetcar. They're called the Société des Champs-Élysées. And it's a music one. And this kind of comes from a guy named David Rowe, who's a local musician here in town. And what he has done is, this goes back, I guess, 2-3 years ago, 4 years ago, something like that. There was a pop-up or flash mob, if you will, people playing accordion, and they got on a streetcar. And so now that we have the new Rampart line, this is where that's going to be. They took that sort of a flash mob thing and turned it into a crew, and or a societe in this case. And that basically, that's going to go at about 7:30. They've got a party at Buffa's there at Esplanade at 5 o'clock, excuse me, kicking things off with a little bit of food and all that stuff. And then they go a short second line over to the Esplanade streetcar stop, which is right there, Elysian Fields and so on, or just near Elysian Fields on Rampart, excuse me. And there's going to be a brass band. Al Carnival Time Johnson is going to be performing. That'll be a lot of fun. That rolls at 7:30, heads up to Union Station, and then turns around and also goes back to where it was. And there's also a masked ball that's going to go on at Siberia at, I believe, about 9 o'clock on St. Claude. So that'll be pretty fun, too. You can catch one of those, two. You can probably catch those two, right? If you time it right, you can get from one to the other. That should be fun. And of course, then the other one that goes on, the 10-year anniversary of the Joan of Arc Parade is also this Saturday, 6 o'clock. And what that one does, well, that one starts at 6. It starts at the corner of Toulouse and Decatur, winds around the French Quarter, kind of makes a loop, and then ends back at Jackson Square. And that is celebrating what I believe is the 606th or supposedly a 606th anniversary of the birth of Joan of Arc. And one neat thing about that that's going on 10th anniversary is that we are going to have a delegation from the city of Orléans, there in France, coming over. And actually today, I believe, if you're listening on the radio, signing a sister city agreement with New Orleans. You would have thought that probably happened some time ago, but it didn't. That's going on now, and the delegation is sticking around to observe the parade. So that's pretty neat. We now have a sister city in Orléans, France, which is the way it should be, I guess. And then we have this parade that is a nod, of course, to a significant part of the history of that city in France. And that starts at 6 o'clock, as I said. And that doesn't, they generally run on time on that one, pretty close, and it doesn't really take too long. It's a pretty short route there in the quarter. So check that one out. If you're interested, just go to joanofarcparade.org. Again, joanofarcparade.org. So trying to get that one in with Funny 40 Fellows is kind of tough. Basically, they're at the same time. You kind of got to pick and choose between those two. But then trying to catch the Société des Champs-Élysées over on Rampart is very, very doable, I think, if you're trying to kind of work that into a program. And it's not going to be freezing cold outside. So that's really, really good news. I'm pretty happy to report on that. Let's see. We got to give you a little bit of good news. We're going to talk about this after the break, a little bit more about the restaurant industry and a few other things. But some good news in the world of restaurants. We know we had a lot of closures. 2017 was a bit of a rough year. And I hope if you listened to the show last week that there's maybe a little bit of a stabilization that's gone on. But Ramen Y'all, the popular new school ramen noodle pop-up that was basically kind of bouncing around between Ferret Beer Room and Barrel Proof, gets their own digs. And they're also, it's going to be a permanent thing, but in the CBD Social, which is a new bar that's opening up on 709 St. Charles Avenue right there by Marcello's and Herb Saint. And they're going to be doing their kind of new school ramen thing on Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays from 4 to 10 p.m. And that should be pretty interesting. They do have a soft opening. You can buy a ticketed dinner, $27 this Saturday or Sunday, doing some Japanese street food and some things, some drink pairings for an extra cost in there. But they've I've heard good things. Never actually had a chance to eat in there. Ramen's always good, especially when it's cold. Nice thing to go get, but they're going to be in a permanent spot there. And that opens up actually on January 18th after this soft opening. So that should be pretty fun. And that new bar is going to be called, that's also when the CBD Social new bar opens up that same time on January 18th. So good news there, friends. We're going to take a little break here on the Noel Drink Show. We're going to be back, talk a little bit about some other cool stuff, talk a little bit about the restaurant industry, and then we're going to get into our featured interview with Kim Patton Bragg and Renee Pellegrino, and then we'll close out the show a little bit later on, friends. Come on back.
Hey, ladies. Are you looking for wine to bring to your next girls' night out? Grab a bottle of Capitello wines and enjoy the taste of fruit from Oregon's Willamette Valley. Capitello has a wide variety of wines to choose from. Sauvignon Blanc, Pinot Noir, dessert wine, and a Brut Sparkling that's a blend of Pinot Noir and Chardonnay. He'll even stop by next time he's in town. So grab the girls, have fun, and enjoy Capitello wine. Cheers.
Hi, New Orleans. It's Laura from Sobu, and I'm here with Chef Juan Carlos.
Sobu's got happier hour. It's 3 to 6 from 3 to 6.
It's bar bars, sips, and snacks, all for $3 to $6 from 3 to 6 p.m. every day.
Laura's got something to please everyone at the bar for happier hour, all for 3 to 6 here at Sobu.
And we know you'll want to try a smoky pulled pork taco or any of the other delicious snacks on our happier hour menu.
Sobu's happier hour, every day from 3 to 6, 310 Charter Street in the quarter.
Complimentary parking next door at the W Hotel.
Locally inspired and nationally recognized, Dickey Brennan Steakhouse is located in the French Quarter. Dickey Brennan Steakhouse serves USDA prime beef, Gulf seafood, and innovative Creole dishes. Come experience why Maxim Magazine and Playboy named it among the nation's top steakhouses. Running short on time? The full menu is available in the bar for quicker and more casual dining. Dickey Brennan's 5 After 5 Happy Hour Special is back. Dickey Brennan Steakhouse is located in the French Quarter at 716 Iberville.
When a cold chill begins to burn at your very soul.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here with you, WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans and in podcast land, wherever you may be. As always, friends, thanks for tuning in to NOLA Drinks. I really appreciate it. Happy 2018 to everybody. If you're here in the city of New Orleans, happy 2018 and happy tricentennial and happy almost carnival season. Yep, Mardi Gras is here February 13th, as I mentioned in all the stuff that we talked about. And that's just, you know, scratching the surface there. Stuff I talked about in the previous segment about the three parades that you can catch coming up on Saturday to kick off our transition from holiday season to carnival season. Always a lot of fun. Just nonstop here in New Orleans, friends. As you know, one of the things that we talk about quite often here on the show, and last year was a tough year in the restaurant and hospitality industry, and lots of places in particular in New Orleans, lots of closures of places. And we'll touch on that in just a second, but a little bit more news. The embattled Besh Restaurant Group is undergoing some more changes. This is primarily reported by Ian McNulty of The Advocate, as well as a bit from Eater and Eater New Orleans and NOLA.com. But an entity within the Besh Restaurant Group called Our House Hospitality that was running a lot of the hotel-based stuff that the Besh Restaurant Group had is splitting off to be its own thing. Brian Landry and Emery Whalen, who were heading that up under the Besh umbrella, are now the new co-owners of that organization. And the Besh Restaurant Group, and his partner Octavio Montilla will actually have no ownership or financial interest in this particular company. That's a lot of the stuff. So mainly it's the stuff in the Pontchartrain Hotel. That's the Caribbean Room, Silver Whistle Cafe, and the Hot Tin Rooftop Bar. And it will also manage the two Nashville spots that are in Thompson Nashville Hotel, notably the Marsh House. And the Besh Restaurant Group, I should note, will be keeping Dominica, which is located in the Roosevelt Hotel, and Bourne, located in the Hyatt Regency. So that'll stay under that umbrella. Of course, you know, with all the restaurant closures and other things that we've talked about, issues with the hospitality industry, and go back and listen to some of the podcast, friends, that we've done before. We talk about a lot of the causes and some of these things, but another backdrop to all this was the sexual harassment stuff. And finally, a lot of this is being addressed seriously in the hospitality, restaurant, and bar industry. We've done a lot of shows on NOLA Drinks on that. I invite you to go back and check some of that out. Had some very courageous people come on and talk about some of their experiences, as well as some of the efforts to stem the tide of this. Unfortunately, what it kind of took to bring it into a bigger dialogue are things like the Besh Restaurant Group and others in the hospitality industry elsewhere, where it's been a hotbed of sexual harassment and sexual assault. And I think we're finally starting to take this conversation seriously. If you listened to the show last week, at the very end, we did some things talking about things we'd like to see happen in 2018 and things we'd like to see go away in 2018. I'm not much of a predictor, so we just kind of went for wish lists. happen and go away. And one of those things was the continued dialogue of addressing sexual harassment and sexual assault in the hospitality industry. So amid all these closures that we had, I'm kind of focusing on New Orleans, of course, but the closures that we had because of economic reasons, perhaps saturation, perhaps some people not getting these things right, all that stuff. We had the backdrop going on as well, or another issue with the Best Restaurant Group. And don't believe me, I'm not just picking on the Best Restaurant Group. That's going on in a lot of places. I've had a lot of people in recent weeks tell me a lot of off the record stories about places that they've worked where it's bad, and it was bad, and hopefully that's changing. So Best Restaurant Group continues to struggle, I guess, to reinvent itself. Of course, we also have talked about the split with Alone Shia of Shia Restaurant and that whole thing going on. I'm not going to talk about that now. We'll talk more about that down the road, I'm sure. But, you know, there you go. Best Restaurant Group still trying to figure things out. I guess I'll put it that way. Here's some good news. We're going to talk about something else in a second after this. Use this as a springboard. But the New Orleans Culinary and Hospitality Institute is breaking ground on a new $32 million culinary school that is slated to open up in late January of next year, 2019. And that's pretty exciting. It's good. The whole thing was founded by a bunch of folks, T. Adelaide Martin, who of course is the co-proprietor of the Commander's family of restaurants, Dickie Brennan of the Dickie Brennan Group, which is Palace Cafe, of course, Brennan Steakhouse, Bourbon House, and Tableau. George Brower, who's a tax credit specialist and developer. He was the dude who helped get both the Sanger Theater and La Petite Theater going in New Orleans there, and a few other folks. And the idea is to create, it's going to be a 93,000 gross square foot space at 725 Howard. And it's all kinds of great folks partnering to the North American Association of Food Equipment Manufacturers are providing equipment, all kinds of other stuff. So there you go. But it's going to be an idea to train chefs and other things, other jobs, of course, in the hospitality and culinary world. And you'd think maybe that was kind of going on before. Obviously, there are other efforts in the city to do education like this, but this is going to be a big deal. Tulane University is committing to developing programs around the business as well as the service side and the functional side, if you will, of cooking and things like that as part of the Tulane curriculum. So a lot of heavy hitters behind this, and I think that that's really, really a good thing. As T. Adelaide Martin said, this is what the New Orleans hospitality industry has always dreamt of. Noki is where culinary and hospitality careers will begin, where business minds will be nourished, and where we'll teach the New Orleans brand of hospitality and fun. It does also sound like there's going to be some enthusiast-related experiences as part of this. So I think, you know, as lay people, if you will, come into the community, maybe take some classes and do some other stuff. They didn't really elaborate on that, but interesting, really cool concept. I think it's great. One of the things that I kind of want to touch on here then is the brand of hospitality and fun, quoting what T. Adelaide Martin said. I was reading an article, friends, just this morning from a completely different industry, and we're talking about basically the term praxeology, which is an economic term, and it's how we as humans apply value through not just a rational set of decision-making. We basically, you know, so like the example used in the article was, does the rat choose the dumpster behind the Starbucks or just the dumpster next to it from any old place? No, the rat just goes to the easiest, you know, simplest dumpster that it can get to do what it does. But humans, we assign value and associate value psychologically, emotionally, some of these things. And so what he also relates that to is the restaurant industry. And he splits these things in sort of the technical or product side and then sort of the marketing brand side. And the technical product side being food in this instance, the product, or excuse me, the service side, the stuff that we associate a lot of the psychological value to is the service side. Now, of course, you know, we have this tendency as human beings to assign a value, the higher the price, the bottle of wine, we think it's better. The higher the price, the menu, we think it's better. So that's also, we're not talking about the execution of the food itself. We're talking about the presentation, the cost, the menu, the service, the cleanliness of the restaurant, these sorts of things. The argument in this particular industry, it was a Contractor magazine talking about maybe investing in your service side is a good thing to do. You can't ignore it because of the importance that we have through that idea of praxeology as humans of assigning value to not just what's on the plate and what it tastes like, but to the whole presentation in a restaurant and in hospitality. And here in New Orleans, our brand of hospitality is, you know, it has fun. It's genuine. Actually, Kim in our interview coming up in a little bit talks about it being a genuine brand of hospitality. And here's where I'm going with this is that I think a lot of restaurants that we know that have closed in 2016, closed in 2017, didn't make it because they weren't doing anything wrong. Now, maybe they weren't capitalized enough to last. Maybe they were in a bad location. Maybe they were a little copycat. We had a lot of places that were doing things right that went out of business. And why I want to mention this is that I think with Nokia, it's a great thing that they're doing all this. I sincerely hope that part of the education is teaching business sense. It's teaching understanding the market. It's teaching what it really takes to open a new restaurant and stick. I think what we're going to see, as I've said before, in 2018, a lot of the places that open up this year are going to be opened up by established groups that have other properties, that know how to get it right, can suffer through the tough times, can get through that opening, those first 3-6 months, and, you know, 12 months. That's what you need to stay in business. And then work through some of the kinks, get things right, as opposed to having 3 months worth of money and hoping you can get everything right out of the gate. If you build it, they will come and you go away. So I really hope that this Nokia program addresses a lot of the business side of stuff so that people are sensible when they open new spots or they look to expand or they address new concepts, these things. I think it's going to be really, really important to the survival and health of the hospitality and culinary industry. I hope this new institute provides that. I hope as we move forward, friends, in 2018, that sensibility, there is that correction, I think, that's taken place, but that sensibility pervades the decision-making in those. Don't just move down here and say, I'm going to open up a restaurant, teach New Orleans something. I cooked really good in some cities elsewhere for 10 years as a sous chef, and I'm just going to move down to New Orleans because it's a magical land, and I'm going to open up a place that's going to kill it. Not going to happen, I don't think, moving forward, friends. So anyway, just that little thought with you, for you, and we're going to be back, take a little break here on the show. Our featured interview with Kimberly Patton Bragg of Latitude 29 and Renee Pellegrino of Mimi's, two bartenders of the year from 2017. Fun chat coming up, and then we'll be back to close out the show with some bits and bobs, as they say over in the UK, and some programming notes for next week. We're going to take a little bottom of the hour break here on the Nola Drink Show, friends. Come on back.
The French Market offers daily entertainment and delicious food and drink options throughout our 6-block district. Whether you crave raw oysters or fresh produce, authentic confections or healthy daiquiris, you can find it here. Sit at one of our cafes and hear live local music. Enjoy a muffuletta, po' boy, salad, or cheese plate in the farmer's market. Check out our pop-up farmer's markets on Wednesdays and Saturdays for even more fresh food options. History is being made fresh daily at the French Market. Visit frenchmarket.org for food, drink, retail, and event listings.
Are you looking for the best buns? Well, we have them at Bayou Burger in the Quarter. Wait till you bite into one of our acclaimed burgers like the Cowboy Burger, Tiebreaker Shrimp Burger, the world-famous Gator Burger, or you can build your own with endless combinations. It's all fresh meat, never ever frozen. Everywhere you look, there's big screen TVs where you'll never miss a minute of the action. Boasting the largest balcony dining in the French Quarter, you can watch all the action pass you by on the street. Find the best burgers in action at Bayou Burger. 501 Bourbon at St. Louis for the best buns on bourbon. It's Bayou Burger, baby.
Looking to shake things up or find the bartender in you? We mean literally. At the New Orleans Drink Lab, you'll do just that. We teach you the history and tradition of classic New Orleans cocktails. Then you get behind the bar and make them. Master classes are fun, interactive, and hands-on. Great for small groups and team building. Come enjoy the ultimate cocktail experience. You mix, muddle, and master the art of cocktail making. Visit us at 343 Barone Street. Or go to our website, drinklabnola.com.
Did you know that there's a vineyard and winery making quality table wines just 1 hour north of New Orleans? At Pontchartrain Vineyards, we produce award-winning wines from our 15-acre vineyard, as well as premium wine grapes sourced from the West Coast. Try our light, crisp, Louisiana-grown Blanc du Bois, or have a glass of Chardonnay, Zinfandel, or our Cab Syrah blend made right here in Louisiana. There's something for everyone at Pontchartrain Vineyards. For more information, go to PontchartrainVineyards.com.
Hi, this is Kevin Richards with Sazerac Rye Whiskey. It's football and festival season, and there's no better way to enjoy Sazerac Rye than in a pothole cocktail. Just fill up a glass with ice and your favorite root beer, and add 2 ounces of Sazerac Rye for a truly tasty toddy. Named after the city's most iconic of inconveniences, the pothole is proof that New Orleans never takes itself too seriously. Sazerac Rye Whiskey, the way New Orleans does whiskey.
Hello, this is Ron Bartholomew, and to my great city of New Orleans, I'd like to introduce to you Touch Vodka. This artisan handcrafted ultra-premium vodka is uniquely distilled from Florida's finest wildflower honey and American grain. Touch also produces key lime, Valencia orange, and ruby red grapefruit selections that are infused with natural oils of locally sourced fruit, which results in a unique 80-proof vodka with no sugar added or coloring. Touch is now available at Doranax, Cello's, and the Corporation Grill and Bar, and many other locations across Louisiana. This holiday season, sit back and relax and enjoy Touch Vodka.
Hey, New Orleans, Jack Jelenko here, local wine guy. Want a great alternative to over-oak Chardonnay? Try Yamhill Valley Vineyards Pinot Blanc, a wonderfully balanced white wine from the oldest family estate in McMinnville, Oregon, in the Willamette Valley. It's round and ripe like a Chardonnay, but without the heavy oak and sweetness of big commercial corporate Chardonnays. Yamhill Valley Vineyard Pinot Blanc, a great value under $20. Ask for it wherever you buy wine. Cheers.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the NOLA Drink Show. Brian Diaz here with you, WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans and in podcast land, wherever you may be. Thanks for tuning in today. As always, happy 2018, friends. Hope everyone had a great new year. If you're listening at the beginning of the show, you know that we are here a couple days ago. If you're listening on the radio at Mimi's here in the Bywater, and I am joined by two of my friends, Renee Pellegrino, who is here at Mimi's. Hi, Renee.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing great.
Good. I have not seen you in quite a while.
It has been a while. Yeah. It's been easily maybe over a year at this point.
Has it been that long?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think the last time I saw you, we ran into you on Magazine Street, uptown,
yes.
Sitting outside.
Yes.
That was probably about a year ago. Yeah, okay. And also Kimberly Patton Bragg. Kim, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good to see you. And you're at Latitude 29?
Yep. I'm fortunate that I get to see you pretty often there.
You do get to see me pretty often. And I don't know if it's fortunate. I appreciate you saying that. I was about to apologize, actually.
Quite all right.
So that's we'll start with you, Kim. Let's talk a little bit about your background and how did you find yourself at Latitude 29 wearing, you know, slinging tiki drinks and wearing Hawaiian floral print shirts.
20 years in coming. Started off in fine dining, in which we had to make, old man drinks behind the bar for ourselves. And I had no idea what I was doing. And many years later, I moved to New York. I worked at Blue Smoke and then moved down here. And
Where did you start, Kim, then? Were you here initially and then moved to?
No, I was in New York first.
Gotcha.
I was doing the cliche actor thing.
Okay.
figured that bartending pays better than Shakespeare. And I enjoyed it. And then came down here with Tales of the Cocktail and moved down here with my husband. And I've been everywhere from Swizzle Stick Bar to Molly's to Dominica to, my own programs at Dominique's and Three Muses on Frenchman and then on to Maple. And then moved on. There was an opening over at Latitude at the right time, and I am so grateful. So.
Great.
Yeah, tiki's never been in my wheelhouse, and I'm learning something totally different.
I remember when you and I ran into each other at Boudin Bourbon and Beer, we were actually having that conversation because you hadn't been there too long.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I actually met a mutual friend of ours when you were at Three Muses, Lindsay Zayorski's.
I love Lindsay.
And,
she's such a sweetie.
In town. Yeah, absolutely. Well, what about you, Renee? Tell us, how did you end up upstairs at Mimi's? Because that's where we are. We're upstairs at Mimi's.
Right. Do you want to go all the way back, 17 years ago? Or
wherever you want to start that will keep the listener engaged, I guess.
We'll
leave it up to you.
So I started in Austin, Texas as a cocktail waitress in a service industry old man dive bar. Very quickly learned every drink that I served, got a dollar. I was like, I really like this. And then moved from there into more the music venue aspect in Austin. And I started coming to New Orleans to vacation and loved it. Moved here. Got a job at St. Joe's within 24 hours of living in the city.
Okay.
Worked there for about 2.5 years. And as everything works, the more people that you know, started working at other places. Rendezvous for 12 years. And then at some point, there were some holes that I needed to fill as far as service went, and it just happened to be the right time, the right place, and being able to come to work at Mimi's, which is a bar that I always enjoyed coming to drink and eat at. So, and here we are, over a year later.
Well, and you and I met when you were working at Cavan, right? Which
absolutely.
Is a fine dining restaurant, mm-hmm. casual fine dining restaurant uptown. Well, why don't you tell us, Renee, a little bit about Mimi's, because I think it's a funky place, right? We're here in the Bywater, and I was asking when we first got here. I've never been upstairs before until today. I'd always been grabbing a go drink downstairs, during St. Anne or something, the parade during Mardi Gras. But so it's kind of a mix, right? We get locals, we get Airbnb beers.
It's a little bit of everything. So we get a lot of tourists who are told to come here from friends who love to come to New Orleans, and they're like, I had a great meal. Or, back in the day, DJ Soul Sister got her start here, so people mm-hmm. used to come here and dance
that.
All the mm-hmm. time.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So it was originally known as a music venue/bar, and downstairs is definitely a bar feel. We no longer do live music, but since then we've been able to showcase the food a lot more. So upstairs has kind of turned into this like loungy, almost restaurant feel, but still at the same time, we still have plenty of drinkers, a lot more cocktails. Like up here downstairs is more of shots and beers and playing pool. So yeah, it's kind of interesting to work in a bar where you have completely two different vibes. And so there are some people who just solely stay downstairs, and there are some people who just only want to be upstairs. And
I
so,
still crave the mushroom manchego toast every single time.
Is that still on the menu?
Oh, my God, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. It is.
That there will be riots in the street if that ever comes off the menu.
I have had people come into, like, seriously licking their plates from the mushroom manchego toast, and I had a woman out one night over at Table 24 in tears, like, tears streaming down her face.
Okay, that's too much.
It was insane. Yeah, she asked for the chef to come out of the kitchen, and I asked.
Good Lord.
There was a hug. It was a moment for
life-changing experience.
Very much so.
Wow, that's something.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
What kind of mushrooms were on that?
Right, that's exactly right. That's our little secret, yeah.
Well, Kim, let's talk a little bit about Latitude 29. So you're working over there with Jeff Beachbum Berry, who his first foray right into bar ownership, he is and still is a noted cocktail historian, really, right?
Absolutely. And that's part of our job, is to keep the standards that he worked so many years to set and find and discover and, you know, architecturally, and he's kind of like an archaeologist, really, you know, cocktails, because it's not only, you know, finding the bones of these things, he's trying to figure out the bone that's missing also, because in a lot of the tiki books, you know, people would just remove something so nobody could make the drink the same way they did. And so it's a lot of figuring it out, and he's put in all of that work, all of that research, and it's our job to make sure that it's done that way every single time, so everybody can just drink a little bit of history.
That's really cool. And I think one thing I would add or ask you this question is, you know, maybe one might assume then working at a place that Jeff has established and all this stuff, it's sort of, you know, you're going to make it my way or the highway with the classic drinks, which makes sense. But you also have some freedom. I mean, I know all the bartenders, you all develop drinks there.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely. You know, for our happy hour menus, and sometimes things will be so popular that it's taken on to the menu. I know Brad Smith, our GM there, he's got a couple of drinks on the menu, and including our Sip and Santa that we just finished for the holidays, his Don and Victor. I'm almost like the manchego toast lady. I almost cried when it was, you know, done because it's so good.
And you said that with Tom and Jerry variation, right?
Tom and Jerry variation, and it's got a little touch of saffron and a touch of bitter, and it's absolutely genius. So he does give us the freedom to create, absolutely, you know, and of course we can dealer's choice and all that, but our job is to keep to the historical and to honor all the hard work that he's put in for decades.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. Renee, so from your perspective then working at Mimi's, because you've run the gamut too. Mm-hmm. Kim obviously has a lot of experience kind of in different types of venues, and this has, here at Mimi's, it's not a dive bar. It's got a dive bar vibe to it. But what is your, since you've worked the gamut of different places too, is this kind of the right fit for you, or it's that mix of kind of dive versus good food versus good drinks?
Absolutely. So with, you know, my first, you know, starting experience was always in high volume, and it's like definitely just cracking beers, pouring shots, you know, three ingredients, you know, it was a White Russian, that was it. And then recently in the past few years, I've been able to learn more about cocktails and mixing. And here, we do have like the right amount of volume, but also the expression to be able to make as many cocktails as we want. We have a full bar. We can make 99% of all the classic cocktails. And recently, we just started adding a Trust Me cocktail, and that's where... Because we don't have a cocktail menu. And I think a lot of people are accustomed to that now, and so it takes away... People don't have to guess about what they want anymore. They can like read a list and they're like, all right. And since we don't have that, now with the Trust Me, people come up and they're like, oh, well, all right, I want a Trust Me cocktail. And they tell me the base, like vodka, gin, rum, bourbon, tequila, scotch. And then we make a drink based on that. And from that, it's given us a lot of freedom. we've started creating like more simple syrups, and so we're doing like a lot of twist on classic cocktails. For example, if you asked me for a bourbon, trust me, what I would probably make for you would be an old fashioned, but I would use a cayenne infused simple syrup, which kind of adds like a just like a little kick and something different.
Versus like, well, let's do this. You two, I need to take a little break here. We'll take care of a little bit of commercial business here on the show, and we're going to come back. We're chatting with Renee Pellegrino of Mimi's and Kimberly Patton Bragg of Latitude 29. We're going to talk a little bit more about their careers, where they work, and some recent recognition they have both, well-deserved recognition they have both garnered here in the industry. Friends, we're going to take a little break. Come on back.
It may sound funny, but I don't believe she's coming on. Baby, hurry, don't make me worry.
Oregon wines are taking over New Orleans. The reason? They're delicious. Next time you're shopping for wine, grab a bottle of Sass Wine. Located in the South Salem Hills of Oregon's Willamette Valley, Sass Wine produces small amounts of handcrafted, high-quality wines that include Pinot Noir, Pinot Blanc, Pinot Gris, Chardonnay, Riesling, Sauvignon Blanc, and Rosé of Syrah. A perfect balance of full fruit with fine, supple tannins and firm acidity is what makes truly great wines, and you'll find that in every bottle of Sass Wine you drink.
Hi, I'm Dickie Brennan, and I'd like to invite you to our new Black Duck Bar located on the second floor of Palace Cafe. Named after the Prohibition's infamous rum runner, the Black Duck features over 120 rums as well as an extensive tequila collection. In addition, acclaimed master French chef Rene Bageau heads up the small plates and charcuterie kitchen. Join us for happy hour Monday through Friday from 4 to 7 p.m. with half price small plates, local draft beer, and tap wine.
Everybody, welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here with you. Thanks for tuning in today. As you know, I am chatting with Kimberly Patton Bragg of Latitude 29 and Renee Pellegrino here at Mimi's, which is where we are today. And we're having a funny conversation here during the break as we were talking about really kind of several things. The variation on classic cocktails, and you'll start there, Renee, because we were talking about this. You know, how do you feel when you're riffing on something? One of the things that always, I say this all the time, that one of the greatest bits of trepidation that I'll get in a bar that I've never been to is they'll say, this is our riff on a something, like on a classic cocktail, and I go, oh God, what am I getting myself into? Because lots of times those people don't know how to make the drink, the original drink, the right way. And that's important, right?
It's incredibly important. If you're going to do a variation of something, you should start with the basics. They're there for a reason. They've been around for a long time. They obviously work if people are still ordering them. So if you're going to take the I guess the boldness of, you know, messing with something, you know, like reinventing the wheel, basically, then, you know, make sure that you're still giving, like, the proper respect to the drink that you're already, like, that you're trying to recreate, I guess, you know, so.
And it's still just trying to find the basic balance, you know, so things need to be adjusted, you know, whether it's, a, you know, one dash of this or a little less of this or a little more of this or maybe a different rye, you know, anything to make it right and balanced. And, I mean, when I'm creating drinks and everything, it's never right off the bat. I mean, some of them are just terrible, you know, and you keep working on it until you get the right balance. And a lot of times I've been surprised about what that thing is. And sometimes it's, you know, having a left turn and completely changing the base. So, you know, from like tequila to gin, actually tequila and gin actually both work pretty well together with different things. But anyway,
that's one of my favorite things to do is to take like a gin drink and then I'll add mezcal instead of the gin, like in replacement of the gin. Yeah. And it always like those components still
seem
to
work beautifully
well
with the same types of citrus and stuff, I find, and sweeteners.
Do you think it's important then to say maybe, okay, I'm going to take this as sort of my basic concept or my framework. Maybe it's a classic cocktail and then I'm going to change one variable and see what that does.
That's exactly
before
right.
Before moving on, saying, I'm going to change three things. I mean, I'm just going
to
do...
Well, because you'll never be able to find out if the drink tastes proper if you're changing three things at one time. You just do it bit by bit because you can always... And also adding just a little bit because you can always add more. but you can't take it away.
You can't take it out.
That's exactly right. So.
Absolutely. Especially sweetness. You know, I always say that, you know, sugar is our salt and, you know, bitters are our spice cabinet. Mm-hmm. And so that's basically where you have to go, and you don't want anything too sweet, and you don't want anything, you know, too bitter, and it's trying to find the balance between, you know, all of those things. So,
well, let me ask you this, Kim, because that is a great set of points right there, and I think we were talking about the Mai Tai, which I think can maybe serve as a good example here, where we've had this, you know, people think a lot of things are really sweet because they were introduced to it on a cruise in the Caribbean, like
Absolutely.
We were joking about, or on the beach in Hawaii, and you think that's what it's supposed to be. A lot of these drinks, especially tiki drinks, are not as sweet as some people think
they are. That is our biggest question that we get a lot of the times. It's like, I don't want anything sweet, or, you know, and they always assume that it's going to be that, and it's not. We really, you know, strive to have the right balance as did the people way back in the day. It just kind of took a wrong turn somewhere, you know, on the cruise ships and all that kind of stuff, in which Mai Tais became pink and they didn't have orgeat, so they'd add amaretto or almond flavoring, or if you even got that,
right.
And it just became this pink punch. And people were just used to that, and so they come in and they see, you know, Mai Tai, we make a gorgeous Mai Tai from 1944, recipe, and it's using the orgeat and the fresh juice and the curacao and the rum and all that, and it's got a beautiful orchid and mint, and you know, all this beautiful work and research went into it, and you handed it to them and they're like, it's not pank. It's like, no, it's not supposed to be. Just put it in your mouth, trust me.
Right.
And they're like, oh, this is delicious. I'm like, I know.
Right,
you know,
see?
This is why I work here. Right. This is why I don't do insurance like you do. So, you know, just trust me with Mai Tais. I'll trust you with insurance. All right, so, you know, there, that type of thing.
Yeah, that's great. And what do you have to do? Do you have anything to add on that front, Renee, as far as, I mean, because you're a tour guide, right, when you're behind the bar. And you're going to be dealing with a lot of assumptions when people walk in regards to what it is that they order or what it is that they think they're going to get. How do you kind of steer that conversation? Say, even like with the trust cocktail, right?
Right.
I mean, that's maybe a mechanism to do that.
And that is pretty interesting because, you know, say if you had walked into the bar, like I've served you before, and so I have an idea of the things that you've liked to order in the past.
Right.
And so I have a base of a palette of what I would serve you. And that is the hard thing with the Trust Me cocktail and working at a bar that is like in flux with between tourists and, you know, strangers on top of regulars, is somebody coming up and they're like, I trust you. And I'm like, I have no idea. So that's why I start with like the base. And I let, you know, it's like, if you want to be a little bit more specific, if you want to tell me that you do want something sweet or you want something citrusy, great. That's awesome.
I say, what's your go-to cocktail? You know,
right. If a woman, if a woman comes up and she wants a vodka, trust me, then, you know, it's like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to make you something pink, most likely. You know, it's like, it'll taste great, and I will put,
you'll
like, a spin on it. But, you know, it's, you know, right. So, and that's probably the most difficult one, honestly, because if somebody says bourbon, gin, I have all of those things, you know.
Absolutely.
But, right, and plenty of cocktails to work with outside of, you know, vodka.
it's a blank piece of paper. I'm not hating on vodka, because trust me, with all those tiki drinks, somebody orders a vodka, I want to kiss them on the mouth, you know. Because
there's a reason why the shirt says vodka pays the bills.
It does pay the bills. You know, I don't hate on that, and also makes a good pasta. But it's a blank piece of paper. It's just taking on the flavors of things that you add to it. I look at that as kind of a blank piece of paper, and something like gin is more like a jigsaw puzzle that you have to find this piece to go with this piece and stuff. So it's a little bit more complex.
Well, and that's a great, great point there too, Kim, because now, like we were talking about, the availability and variation, let's just even use gin as an example, right? And the huge explosion of just domestic producers here in the States making, you know, gin and micro distilleries and that sort of thing. So now we have this huge palette from which to work just in gins alone, which is cool. But I'm guessing on the other side of the coin, that's almost kind of daunting too, right?
Well, it is. When we were working on our happy hour drinks for this next one that's coming up, I was working on one. Brad always gives us a different challenge. You know, he's like, all right, we have these spirits to work with, and, you know, I want you to work with this. And then, and I'm all right, great. Okay, so now what do I do? I was like, all right, we have plum wine. What am I going to do with this thing? So I did a drink with, and also we had to do four ingredients. And for a tiki place, that's tough. So I did tamarind nectar, gin, ginger beer, and the plum wine. and I was playing with it and everything, and the gin I was using did not work. I switched to a more juniper-heavy gin, and it worked beautifully. Right. So, and so it's all that. A softer gin wasn't going to work with that. I needed an extra punch to hit up with that tartness of the tamarind.
Okay,
so,
gotcha. Yeah. And what do you think about that, Renee? I mean, in these times when we have so much more available, is it harder? Is it easier? Is it kind of a combination? We've created first world problems in the cocktail
world.
Yeah,
we've definitely created first world problems, definitely. So.
I mean, I kind of enjoy the variety and the respective, like, you know, there are certain things, like, you know, if I was going to use a mezcal, for example, we carry two here. One is a little bit on the fruitier side, if that makes sense. Like, it's very easy on the palate. That's something that I will not use in a cocktail. But we have another one that's like overly smoky in the true mezcal sense. And it's like, so when somebody's asking for a cocktail with, like, that's what I go to. And so it's like nice to be able to offer somebody something where it's like, you would probably enjoy this with like with one rock or neat. And then you would enjoy this one within a drink because you can still get the component of it, but it'll mix well with everything else you add to it.
And it's also that introduction to something like mezcal or gin, because so many people are, I mean,
a lot of people are afraid of it.
They are. They're afraid of it, you know, especially with, you know, gin. That was the first thing that was in grandma's cabinet. You got drunk and threw up juniper berries for 3 days. And then
super heavy.
Tanqueray, baby. Tanqueray.
Exactly. Beef eater for me.
Beef eater, right.
So, so it's one of those things trying to get them back into it. And so for things like, you know, Hendrick's gin, which is a much softer gin, a more feminine gin, sometimes that is a way to kind of move them back into the gin family, it were, and away from the vodkas.
It makes people less afraid of it.
And exactly. And mezcal, you that fruitier one, you know, if you give them a smoke bomb, you know, to start off with, they're going to get terrified and just say,
and never come back.
Yes, and never come back.
You two, let's do this. Let me take another quick break here on the show, and we're going to talk a little bit more with cocktails and other things with Renee and Kim. Come on back.
For a great place to enjoy great handcrafted and vintage cocktails, Victory is located at 339 Barone Street in the heart of downtown New Orleans. We have a variety of spirits, a talented team of bartenders, and great gourmet small plates. Our mission? To preserve an era when cocktails were made with artistry and pride. Grab your friends and come enjoy the ultimate cocktail experience. Give us a call to book your next private event or go to our website, victorynola.com. See you soon. Cheers.
Hi, this is Jeff Craner with the award-winning Nottingham Cellars, located in Livermore Valley, California's oldest wine-growing region, producers of fine wines. Try our clean, crisp 1846 Chardonnay, an ideal pairing with New Orleans seafood, or our bold, rich Petit Sirah, excellent with steak, to our flagship Bordeaux-style blend, Supremacy. You can find our wines in finer restaurants throughout New Orleans. Hope you enjoy our wines.
With the season's beautiful weather, it's a perfect time to take a drive across Lake Pontchartrain and visit New Orleans' only local vineyard and winery, Pontchartrain Vineyards. Our tasting room is open Wednesday through Sunday from noon till 4, or by appointment. Come enjoy a flight of our wines in our classically styled French Provençal tasting room, or pack a picnic lunch and enjoy a bottle of wine on our patio overlooking the vineyard. While you're there, ask about our wine club. For more information, go to PontchartrainVineyards.com.
Hi, Jack Jelenko here, local wine guy, suggesting that great handcrafted Pinot Noir from Oregon doesn't need to be expensive. Consider Yamhill Valley Vineyard Estate Pinot Noir from the oldest family estate in the Willamette Valley of Oregon. It's rich, ripe, wonderfully balanced, and it's only about $20 at your favorite New Orleans wine shop. Yamhill Valley Vineyard. Top quality doesn't need to be expensive if you know what to drink. Ask for it wherever you buy wine. Cheers.
Night before last, I got loaded on a bottle of whiskey.
Tim McNally. Welcome to the Dine, Wine, and Spirit Show, NOLA Drinks Edition. Here's your host, Brian Diaz.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the NOLA Drinks Show. Brian Diaz here with you, WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans and in podcast land, wherever you may be. Thanks for tuning in. Happy 2018, everybody. Yep, we are here at Mimi's in the Bywater, sitting in the lovely upstairs area, and I'm chatting with two of my friends, Renee Pellegrino here of Mimi's, as well as Kimberly Patton Bragg of Latitude 29. And we took a little break, and we were talking about a little bit about mezcal going into the break, so then we got up and kind of played with the bottles a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And which is always kind of fun, so we looked at a couple of mezcals and one of the local gins. But you... we were talking, Kim, a little bit about your love of whiskey and love of agave.
Absolutely.
And how they fit into your relationship profile there.
Oh, such a difficult relationship. So complex. So I've been kind of known as a whiskey evangelist, and American whiskey has been my wheelhouse. And I always joke that American whiskey is my husband, but mezcal and agave spirits are my lover. So it's depending on the night, you know, whoever's free, you know, that type of thing.
Options are good. Options are good. And they probably even know about each other, right?
Oh, they totally know about each other. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, when
do you ever
have
them both at the same time?
Pause.
A couple times.
Yeah, exactly. No, right on. We got to come late night at Latitude 29.
Right.
When somebody comes into the bar then and orders something, how do you go about steering them in the right direction? I know I kind of asked that conversation, but you get a lot of vagaries, right?
So
something like American whiskey, the proliferation of American whiskey is so now huge.
Absolutely.
Is it, what is your go-to? You know, what is this? And how do you try and steer somebody to something? Let me ask you this question. We kind of cover that. How do you steer somebody to something different? If they say, I want to try something new.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess it's just maybe just having a conversation with them. Yeah. It's really just like connecting with your customer and when they come in and making sure that, you know, you're both happy. For example, last night I had somebody come in and they wanted, and I've just been going crazy with mezcal lately, by the way. But
he wanted
like Buffalo Trace on the rocks with chinar and some lime. And I'm like, I don't. What? Think that that would taste amazing. I don't know if that's something that you've had before.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I was going back to that. I want to try something new. And I was like, well, why don't we do some mezcal chinar? And I made him a drink, and I was like, if you don't like it, you're more than welcome to return it to me, and I will make you exactly what you want.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. But otherwise, just, you know, give me a little faith because this is what I do. Like, you do the insurance, and I do this. Right.
Exactly.
And it's just a matter of that and trying to make sure that they're having the best experience while they're drinking and, you know, because there's how many other bars, how many other restaurants in this city, you know, it's like.
I love when people will just like want to just jump into bartending and all that kind of stuff. And bartending is different from just making a drink, but, you know, because it's dealing with people. But it's one of those people that they want to just jump into it just straight here. It's like, you know, we've been, you know, anywhere from dishwashing to this, to that, and the other to get to learn our craft. And we study it and all that kind of stuff. I'm 47 years old. I'm not going to say, you know what? I'm going to start doing open heart surgery.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Exactly. I've seen it on TV.
Yeah, exactly. I watched a biopsy once, you know? So that's not how it works, you know? It takes a lot of trial and error and dealing with guests in a different way,
That's exactly right.
We have to know when a problem is walking in the door and all that. And it's like, I can teach skill, but I can't teach that. I can't, you know, there are some great people that can make some beautiful drinks, but they are just dead wood behind the bar.
Right.
And
yes.
Even though they've got manna from heaven right in front of them or they're a jerk, I have no need for that.
Mm-hmm.
I can teach you how to stir a proper Sazerac or something like that, but I can't teach you to be a great bartender. And a great bartender has to be somebody who's great with the guests and makes them feel comfortable.
That's really important. And actually, one of the favorite topics here on the show that we talk about, given that we're in the New Orleans landscape, the hospitality component is as important here as anything else. And I would argue that nowhere, there might be other places in the world that the hospitality component is on par or necessarily on par with New Orleans, but nobody goes further than that.
I think it's
really important.
I think the difference is it's an honest hospitality.
Correct.
Rather than a forced. You know, if you go to a fine dining restaurant in New York, of course you're going to get this amazing service, but it's very...
It's attentive, but it's also
arm's length.
Rigored.
I might not remember your name. I'll remember your gin and tonic three limes. but I won't remember your name necessarily, even though I've been serving you for 3 years, you know, because then it becomes awkward after 3 years. It's like, you know, so.
Especially when you, but, and you know, like, things about their life. And,
exactly.
You know, and it's like,
exactly.
Oh, and like, how are you, you know,
dude, how was your trip? And, you know, all that kind of stuff, you know, congratulations on your promotion.
And you just start him a tab and you're like, yeah. Newcastle guy.
Exactly.
Newcastle guy. See, there you go.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I think we find, too, here in this town, this is kind of a leading question, really. If you come in, because I think there are places in the world, right, where you go, and we'll just even stick to the cocktail scene specifically, mm-hmm. where you can kind of get away with that too cool for school mentality.
Right.
We're super great. We've gotten all these awards. I've been in and by a magazine 100 times, so you're lucky to be sitting at my bar. And that doesn't fly in New Orleans,
no.
I don't think.
I think the deal with bars in New Orleans and why a lot of people not only love to come here but also love to drink is that when we are behind the bar, like, as service and whatever, like, you kind of treat it like your home. And
yeah.
I feel that a lot of the
we spend more time there than our home.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Right?
Like, you know, that's right. So, you know, and it's just like one of those, like, welcome, come in. And mm-hmm. those are the bartenders and those are the bars that I feel that are successful in institutions in the city. When you go into places and it is that attitude of just like, you know, you're not going to last very long.
You're
and
not.
I mean, and it's a very young attitude to have. And especially after you've been doing it for over a decade, 2 decades, what,
yep.
you know, it's, mm-hmm. you learn how to do that and you learn how to talk to your people. And, you know, if you want to, that's fine, but, oh, sorry.
That's like, all right.
But,
it just doesn't work. You know, I don't trust you until you've had bar rot, you know,
right.
at least twice in your career or, you know, kicked somebody out or any of that kind of stuff or taken it, you
and
know,
especially
I mean,
being
yeah.
the female behind the bar and the respective, like when we have to like, you know, it's like, oh, you kicked that guy out? And it's like, well, yeah. No, I did.
Like, I did.
You know, it's like, there's, what?
Like, exactly. That's part of the job,
right.
you know? And you got to make sure that you're creating a safe and pleasant environment for everyone.
That's
if
exactly
that person
right.
is disturbing that, then get out of here,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Because mm-hmm.
it's also disturbing my night, too.
Exactly.
And I want to have fun when I'm at work,
exactly.
you know?
Exactly.
Right.
That's the thing.
Right.
It's, you know, at home, that's my mm-hmm. husband. The bar,
right.
that's my lover. You
right.
know?
Yeah,
so,
right.
you know, that's basically what that is.
Well, and this all factors in right into presenting a room and creating that vibe mm-hmm. of hospitality. If you have somebody that's messing that up, they need to be dealt with.
I mean, absolutely, as quickly as possible.
Well, and this was, you know, and you just brought this up, Renee. This was one of the topics that we were going to get to, so here we are. Good job. Is that, you know, obviously, you're both are women working in the industry. And
mm-hmm.
I know in New Orleans that in at least in recent years, it's a little more balanced than it used to be
yeah.
here and more balanced than it is mm-hmm. in other places in the world, certainly. But it's not easy, right? I mean, you're still in a male-dominated situation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, well, I don't want to say this about everybody, but I have had some experience on my end in the respect of like getting into cocktails, that is a very mm-hmm. male dominated situation with
yep.
bartending. And it kind of becomes a boys club and just being, you know, and it's like, oh no, like, you know, I can like run volume like all day
exactly.
long, but yes, I want to learn how to start making this drink and just kind of like being dismissed as I'm like learning. And it's like,
yep.
we all have to start somewhere, but.
And you did too,
right.
you know,
and that
just drives
yeah.
me crazy. And I also found it's gotten better, and it absolutely does not happen where I work now. I mean, my boys are my brothers,
right.
you know, but I found in a lot of those, you know, craft situations and stuff like that from also other women that work there, that there's a tendency that the women still are the ones who clean. And
right.
the boys, you know, well, all of a sudden it's, oh, it's time to clean up. So I'm going to have a conversation with this guest right now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and
I mm-hmm. guess smoke 3 cigarettes.
Exactly,
or, you know, like, right,
exactly. And it becomes that type of thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's just something that's just, you know, learned from birth, you know. But luckily, that's definitely starting to change, you know. Which is awesome because we've got more women that are also not only behind the bar, but they are also the ones creating the programs.
That's exactly right.
And
right.
all that too, you
well,
know?
Kim, hold that thought. Let's
mm-hmm.
take a little break here on the show and come back because this is certainly one of the topics that we want to get into. So let's continue with that topic right here after the break. Friends, thanks for tuning into the NOLA Drink Show. We're going to take care of a little business, take a little commercial break, and we're going to be right back with Kim and Renee. Come on back.
C savory crab meat cheesecake and decadent white chocolate bread pudding are Palace Cafe originals. For nearly 26 years, Palace Cafe has been serving award-winning cuisine in the historic Warline Music Building. Located on Canal Street at the edge of the French Quarter, Palace Cafe is open 7 days a week for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and open for jazz brunch on the weekends.
Looking for a bottle of wine to impress your friends and family? Miro Cellars from California's Russian River Valley is the perfect wine for any occasion. Miro Cellars searches the region for the finest grapes to make their one-of-a-kind specialty wines. Award-winning winemaker Miro Chelikov considers the particular geology and seasonal climate of each vineyard when selecting the most interesting grapes the region has to offer. Because Miro has complete freedom to make precisely the wines he loves best, the results are spectacular. Let yourself in on one of the best-kept secrets in wine today. Miro Cellars.
Looking to shake things up or find the bartender in you? We mean literally. At the New Orleans Drink Lab, you'll do just that. We teach you the history and tradition of classic New Orleans cocktails. Then you get behind the bar and make them. Master classes are fun, interactive, and hands-on. Great for small groups and team building. Come enjoy the ultimate cocktail experience. You mix, muddle, and master the art of cocktail making. Visit us at 343 Barone Street. Or go to our website, drinklabnola.com.
Yeah! Oh, one, two, three, four. Woo! The name of this thing is Hook and Slay. You got it. Hook it, baby. I'm slaying it.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. We are chatting with Kim and Renee. We are here upstairs at Mimi's in the Bywater. We're taping this on a Tuesday. It's a cold. It's a cold Tuesday, isn't it?
Are you guys over it already?
Yeah. It was 36 degrees when we walked into the bar here.
It's a hot buttered rum day.
Right. It is a hot buttered rum day. I'm disappointed that the drink that you were talking about at Latitude's gone away.
I
know.
Need
to carry that on.
I think
further.
We might have a couple more days left of it. So yeah.
Ooh, okay, that's good.
Yeah, get in there.
I may have to wander down that way.
That's so good.
Yeah. Well, we were just talking before we took a break. We started get into the topic of being women in the industry, and you touched on something too, Kim. You said something about, you know, sort of having the ability to deal with this from birth, but there's a process, right, that you have to learn being a female to, like, throw somebody out of a bar, right?
Oh yeah,
that's a different thing, and that's
I can't tell
you
how many times, even when I owned a place, that, you know, I'm kicking them out, and they're like, "Well, let me talk to the owner." I'm like, "You are,
right? Okay,
you know, that assumption that you are not in control, you know, that you are the one that's, you know, working for someone else, or, you know, well, let me talk to somebody else. You know, it's like, nope, that my rules, my bar, you're out.
And that happens a lot, right?
There's that Frenchman Street,
sort of,
are you
passive,
kidding me?
Assumption, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Three Frenchman Muses, Street. It happened all the time. Well, absolutely.
And, like, Renee, do you get the type of question, because I know from some of our other mutual friends that we have here in the industry that are female bartenders, the assumption that you don't know what you're talking about, like a good friend of ours, Katie Dubois, who I know you all know, right? And Katie now works with the Angels Envy as the brand ambassador, brand rep for them. She knows a ton about whiskey.
Yes, she does.
And about bourbon. And one of the things she'll always say is she'll get this sort of assumption. It's like, oh, you know, let me talk to somebody else who understands the bourbon list, or let me tell you.
Yeah, try that with Polly at Avenue Pub.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there you go. Absolutely. Good example.
You know what
but
I mean?
How,
that's
how
one of
often
the strongest whiskey programs in the city.
Right,
you know?
Absolutely.
And it's run by a woman.
I would have to say it happens more often than not, and it's unfortunate, and it's one of those, and I think it's, and what it's taught me in the respect of being dismissed so many times, and just to be able to be like, no, and you just show up with the confidence, and it's like, I do know what I'm talking about, and if you want to doubt it, but you, and
absolutely.
Then the look of astonishment is the reward from the person's face.
It truly
they're
is.
Like, right. They're like, oh, you do know, oh, okay, you know, and it's like,
absolutely.
It's like, no, I'm not just, you know, back here to...
It was like my southern accent when I was in New York. People assumed that I had a Chevy Novon's mint blocks and appliances on my front lawn. And
drinking hooch out of a jar?
Exactly. Well, that I do. But it's like, no, I'm college educated. You know, speak French. You know,
well, it's also another situation when it comes to New Orleans bartenders. And, you know, like, this is such a heavily educated service industry town.
Absolutely.
So many people that do have college degrees, you know, three times over.
And also, we're talking to guests that are from all different walks of life. Mm-hmm. We're not stuck in a cubicle in which all we're talking about is trading stocks or something.
Let's go with insurance. Let's just keep picking on the insurance industry.
Yeah, exactly. My dad's in insurance. I'll pick on that. So we're talking to the insurance guy, you know, next to a Tinder date, next to, you know, a nurse, next to a teacher, next to a stripper. You know, we're finding all sorts of, you know, different perspectives.
Yeah. You just nailed my Tuesday nights up here. That's exactly my crowd.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's what makes it fun, you know? It keeps things very interesting.
Now, how often do you find that being women behind the bar, that you are, you know, sort of constantly approached this way or talked to in this particular manner, and this sort of assumption that you don't know as much as you should and have to constantly prove it? I mean, can you put a number on it, or can you... I mean, I know even in this town, it's like, Kim, let me ask you this. Maybe even at Latitude, will someone come in and say, well, Jeff Beachbum Berry is a famous guy. You just make his drinks, right?
No.
And, I mean, did you get that?
I don't get it in that way. People are there because of Jeff Beachbum Berry, as they should be. Mm-hmm. But they've never... He's so respected that they trust that he's chosen the right people.
Okay.
That's exactly right. So, that's how I've always felt.
And so
that's
so that's where I'm very fortunate, but it isn't that way in a lot of other places. Mm-hmm. So I'm very fortunate in which it's that way, because people, you know, he's so well known and all that they're going to trust that the people behind the bar are just as, you know, they're honoring
up to
he's
snuff
done.
And can do what they can do.
Absolutely.
What are the questions that I hear often just sitting at the bar, and it's almost always asked more of women than of men, bartenders.
Numbers?
aside from that, there's that too. But the question, you know, what do you want to do when you grow up?
Oh, yeah.
And that kind of thing, you know, because there's an assumption, I think, lots of times. And I mean, I've heard males be asked that question as well.
Oh, yeah.
But typically, it's I would say, probably 3-to-1 it's asked of female bartenders.
Right. Oh, definitely.
You know, are you going to go back to school and go study something and get a real job?
Yeah. No, I'm paying off my college loan.
Yeah, right.
It's like, what do you think I'm doing, man?
Right. That's a yearly conversation with my father, unfortunately.
But, okay, yeah.
But no, in the same respect, like when I was much younger, because I started shortly after I turned 21, started working in bars and realized quickly that I could make a living with it and decided to go with that. And I did, you know, decide to put myself through school and be able to travel with it and do all the things. And it's like, no, this is what I want to do. I'm enjoying this. Until I stop enjoying it, this is what I'm going to continue doing.
Absolutely.
It bothered me a lot when I was younger, and now I just let it roll off my back. You know, it's like when I can sit there and be like, well, no, I've traveled the world. I've been to almost every single continent. You know, I did put myself through school within, you know, it's like,
exactly.
This is fine. Like, you know, everything that I'm doing with my life is completely fine. What do you want to be
you
when you
can,
grow up?
Right. Yeah, you can think whatever you like, but you're the one who's sucking down 8 scotches to forget that you
have
to be
that you work in the insurance agency.
Exactly.
Right.
Sorry, Dad.
Sorry, Dad. You don't share the podcast with
them. Oh, you don't care.
But, you know, you see so many of these questions that you commonly hear, and I do think that it does seem to happen a little less in this town, because I think we have a bit of a tradition and people understand that, you know, bartender is a profession.
Yes.
And, you know, but I hear it all the time, and I know you guys obviously hear it way more than I do, but it really is something.
It's usually with the older generation.
Older generation,
that really thinks that, because now with the whole foodie thing, you know, the millennials and all that, they see this as an extension of food and as craft.
That's exactly right.
And so I think it's the older generation, which it was that job that was, you do this to become that, that it confuses them a bit.
That makes sense. Yeah. And I mean, look, there is a reality too, right, where people, everybody, you know, has at some time or another taken a job to pay the bills to get through school.
Yeah,
and there
absolutely.
Are people that their intention is to go work behind the stick for a while they're in college, and then they're going to go to another profession.
Yeah,
that's fine
but
as well.
But it's another profession.
Right.
It's
it
not
was.
Move on to a profession. But it is another profession.
But I think it's also like within the bartender as well, and their respective, like, you know, for me, I honestly enjoy making drinks. Mm-hmm. I enjoy it when it's busy and, like, you know, just, you know,
crushing it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And then also at the same time, I enjoy it when somebody leaves and they've had a great time, and
you know, I've created regulars from all over the country because of that. Like, every time they come into New Orleans, they will come and seek me out at my bar because they're like, oh, and you're here. Great. You know,
and they met, and then they're bringing you their baby, you know, and stuff like that. No, I mean, it's crazy.
I've created a few marriages and a few children as well.
I can't even count the engagements and all that.
Not me personally.
The breakups, you know.
That's exactly right.
We watched life happen in front of us.
Yeah, and you have to engage in it in a way that is, it's challenging too, right? Because there's also, you know, look, I mean, it's human nature. If we're all, those of us that are empathetic human beings, want to lean in and talk to them, but it's like, man, I've got 10 drinks I got to make and balancing that conversation.
I love you, man, but just a second. So I'll be back to you,
right?
Trust me.
Yeah,
I got 12 rum barrels right now.
It's like, hold that thought.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
That's exactly trust me, I'll be back to you.
Right.
So, well, let's do this. I'm going to go ahead and take another quick break here because we're kind of close to that, and then we'll come back and do another segment with y'all. Because I keep saying, I keep teeing this stuff up, that you guys have recently both garnered some nice recognition in the industry, and I keep not talking about it and keep asking you what that is. We're saving that for, like, this is like
for
that terrible trick.
Bartenders, right?
Yeah, being bartenders. So we're going to keep you tuned in to give the big reveal, the big reveal. But we're going to take a little break here, friends, on the Noah Drink Show. We are here at Mimi's in the Bywater upstairs. As I said, first time upstairs. Really cool. And I'm chatting with my friend Renee Pellegrino and my friend Kimberly Patton Bragg. Thanks for both for being here, taking some time out on a cold Tuesday to do this. But we're going to come back and chat a little bit more with these two. And we are. We're going to get to that recognition. So come on back.
Hi, this is Kevin Richards with New Orleans' own Sazerac Company, makers of Sazerac Rye Whiskey. In case you haven't noticed, rye whiskey is hot, flying off store shelves and dominating the bar scene in New Orleans and around the country. Rye's spicy and assertive character is drawing in those looking for whiskey with a bite, but that equally pairs well with cocktails. Enjoy it in cocktails like the Old Fashioned or Manhattan, or simply savor it on the rocks. Sazerac Rye Whiskey, the way New Orleans does whiskey.
Hey, New Orleans, Jack Jelenko here, local wine guy. If you're listening to this show, you love good food and good wine. And a great wine with our plentiful fresh Gulf seafood is the Domaine St. Rose Coquille Blanc, a crisp, balanced white blend from the south of France. Whether it's with fresh oysters, crab, redfish, or shrimp, this Domaine St. Rose Coquille Blanc will not disappoint. And it's a great value at around $14. Domaine St. Rose Coquille Blanc. Cheers!
The French Market is a place where history is made fresh daily. From the historic Upper Pentalba building on Jackson Square to the ever-evolving Farmers Market, our six-block district celebrates New Orleans food, music, and culture through events, festivals, walking tours, health and fitness classes, and also children's workshops at the New Orleans Jazz Park. Visit our calendar of events at www.frenchmarket.org. The French Market, making history fun since 1791.
Are you looking for the best buns? Well, we have them at Bayou Burger in the Quarter. Wait till you bite into one of our acclaimed burgers like the Cowboy Burger, Tiebreaker Shrimp Burger, the world-famous Gator Burger, or you can build your own with endless combinations. It's all fresh meat, never ever frozen. Everywhere you look, there's big screen TVs where you'll never miss a minute of the action. Boasting the largest balcony dining in the French Quarter, you can watch all the action pass you by on the street. Find the best burgers in action at Bayou Burger. 501 Bourbon at St. Louis for the best buns on bourbon. It's Bayou Burger, baby.
Did you know that there's a vineyard and winery making quality table wines just 1 hour north of New Orleans? At Pontchartrain Vineyards, we produce award-winning wines from our 15-acre vineyard, as well as premium wine grapes sourced from the West Coast. Try our light, crisp, Louisiana-grown Blanc du Bois, or have a glass of Chardonnay, Zinfandel, or our Cab Syrah blend made right here in Louisiana. There's something for everyone at Pontchartrain Vineyards. For more information, go to PontchartrainVineyards.com.
Savory crabmeat cheesecake and decadent white chocolate bread pudding are Palace Cafe originals. For nearly 26 years, Palace Cafe has been serving award-winning cuisine in the historic Warline Music Building. Located on Canal Street at the edge of the French Quarter, Palace Cafe is open 7 days a week for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and open for jazz brunch on the weekends. Make sure to try one of their refined classic cocktails or a glass of wine from their nationally recognized wine list. Palace Cafe is located at 605 Canal Street.
Hey,
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here with you, WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans and in podcast land, wherever you may be. Thanks for tuning in today. We are here at Mimi's in the Bywater chatting with Renee and Kim. And as promised, we had to get to the big reveal here. So both of you have had a really nice honor given to you in from two different publications. So, Kim, you were named Bartender of the Year by New Orleans Magazine.
Yeah, yeah.
Congratulations.
Really, really happy about that. It's a big honor because that's a there's so many people that deserve it here. You know, there's a lot of really great people. So I'm really, really flattered. And it's great to also, you know, be able to be that representative for Latitude 29, you know, and also, you know, say, you know what, tiki is a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a, well, it's a real fake thing, but it's a real thing.
It's a real fake thing.
And this is a craft. It was the original craft cocktail, you know, and,
yep.
Hopefully people will come in and see, you know, the beautiful work that we do, you know?
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Well, and do you think that was kind of, you mentioned taking on the tiki challenge because you had never really done that before.
Yeah.
Did that
it's
kind
the
of
toughest training I've ever had.
I was just going to ask. So did that kind of fill in some of the gaps
totally.
And holes and things
absolutely.
Like that?
Absolutely.
That
and I'm still learning and still working on it. And I hope to continue to, you know, otherwise, you know, who wants to get bored?
Right.
You know, and there's always something different to learn, and there's something different to uncover, and you know, just figuring out all the stuff behind the bar, and this and the other, and the different qualities of the, you know, thousands of different rums that are out there, and
right.
why one works with the other. Rums are really the only base spirit that you actually blend. You know, you don't really blend two gins together, you know.
Right.
You know, sometimes that happens, but not really. But rums, you know, it's like you want a dark Jamaican along with a light Puerto Rican rum and all that. So it's a huge challenge, and I love it.
And that's a neat thing about that place, right, is that the educational component,
absolutely.
The experiential component is highly emphasized.
Absolutely, and luckily our boss literally wrote the books on it.
Yeah, right. So there's a resource.
Yeah, yeah. He's kind of there. And they'll be like, oh, no. No, he's a great resource. So, and, you know, the stuff that he's continuing to research and stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got another book coming out.
Yeah, okay, and, I've heard that. That's great.
Yeah, so we're excited about that, and there'll be more study and research for
more
me.
Saying, and yeah, and you gotta know his books too, right? You can't kind of get away like you're not working at some tiki bar somewhere else. I mean,
oh yeah, right. Definitely.
You
but
know
they
those
all
books.
Do. You
right.
know, it's like anybody who's in the tiki world knows his name, and we'll have people come over from all over the world, and then we'll come to vacation just to be at that bar,
and check
you
out
know,
that bar.
Which is great. Tiki definitely has cultures and subcultures and all that.
Oh,
it's been fascinating, and you know, that has to keep you on your toes because that guest does just as much research as you do.
So right,
it's,
right.
It's
right.
It can be intimidating, so definitely.
That's pretty cool, but challenging,
yeah,
right?
It becomes a hobby for people.
Well, and you know, and it doesn't, and I always find it interesting, too, when you encounter people that are, you know, guests that are pretty knowledgeable. It's also a great opportunity to learn.
Absolutely.
Right?
Definitely. Yeah. I'll always, you know, stick it in the Rolodex of this addled brain.
There you go, right on. Well, Renee, so, and also your recognition, Where You At Magazine in conjunction with Sky Vodka said you were the bartender of the year.
They sure did.
And you guys are getting along just fine,
yeah.
right, by
oh,
the way.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah,
fine,
yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, there's no beatings.
No, absolutely not, yeah.
Maybe shared shots.
Right.
Sweet.
Yeah, so that was more of a cocktail competition, I guess. And so what I enjoy about working here, you know, along with, you know, just great vibe, great people, whatnot. But we have this component of being able, like, we are allowed to be creative here. And so that's basically where that came from. Like, Sky Vodka, it's like, you need to use our product, and I use their product only as a base. And then took some of the syrups that I make and, like, went into the kitchen and grabbed some coconut milk and tasted things and took some things away and added some more. And yeah, so there you
had
me
at coconut. What's the drink?
Oh, one of my coworkers named it for me, but it's called the Jilted Russian. And it's the base is a sky blueberry vodka. And then I added lime juice, basil simple syrup that I made, some coconut milk because I'm not really a milk drinker.
Right,
so, and then I topped it off with a blueberry demerara that I had made and then a fresh basil leaf. And so it was shaken.
Nice.
It's basically like, when I was making it, I was craving Thai food and also wanting to be on a beach. And
right.
So that's basically
that works.
Right. That
blueberry
was
and basil works great together. So that's
a nice combination. Yeah.
That's a great combination. Yeah.
Do you have anything you're working on right now, Kim?
No, I just finished that plum drink, and I'm going to wait and see what spring brings me for inspiration.
That's a good idea. How often do you guys do that at 29 when you roll over the menu
about
and you guys submit and do all
that?
About
once a season, I think. Okay. So, you know, 3 or 4 times a year. It depends on the inspiration and the seasons and all that kind of stuff. So you don't really want to have hot drinks in July.
Right.
So,
fair enough, especially here. Yeah. Right.
And also the produce changes and all that kind of stuff, too.
Now, do you generally have, when you guys submit it at Latitude 29, I guess probably under the larger Tiki framework, and then is it then pretty much free reign to kind of submit what you want, or is there kind of like, let's talk about
what we want, but it always goes through Brad Smith, our GM, and Jeff Beachbum Berry.
Yeah,
you know, because they are the ones that are the gatekeepers of what we're trying to educate the world on,
right?
And so it has to go with the parameters, you know, of what our bar is, you know. Mm-hmm. It has to make sense for Latitude 29 and for what we do.
Right, okay.
And also it's great to, you know, listen to their perspectives and how to twist things and, you know, maybe we need a little more of this or a little less of this and stuff. And it's great to watch their minds work.
Yeah, that's very cool. Yeah. What about you, Renee, as far as here and coming up with drinks? Is that kind of your purview as you see fit? So because we're not quite as in a rigorous situation as Latitude right here.
Right. It's definitely a little bit more free flowing here. And I think it's just really like a strong conversation that like me and my coworkers all have as far as like, oh, like I'm going to try this. You know, it's like we all kind of play off of each other as far as when it comes to making drinks or when it comes to like, oh, I'm going to, you know, this trust me or something, you know, like, you know, it's like keeping that in your back pocket. And it's just like a continuous conversation. And I'm fortunate enough to work with a lot of people who have, you know, various different background knowledge in bartending, you know, whether it's been volume, craft, X, Y, and Z. And so, yeah, and we all respect each other. And so it's just,
absolutely,
it's all of us just working together, basically. So there's,
yeah, before it gets to Brad and Jeff, we're all working together. Yeah.
Workshopping them together.
Is this good? I don't know. Yeah. Is it me? You know, so.
Right. It's always nice to have a second opinion.
Oh, it's great.
It's like, you know, because if you get so like involved and like, you're, you know, self-involved with it, then
that's your drink. Like, it's not drink for others.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, and just because you think it, you know, it's like you want to make it compatible for everybody. So.
That's what, when people are like, so what do you like? You know, it's like, what's your favorite? It's like, well, you know, what would I like? It's like, I'm not in your mouth, man. It's like, you gotta help me a little bit, you know?
Because it's not what I like.
Exactly.
It's what you like.
What's good, you know?
Exactly. What's good? Oh,
what's
no, good we make nothing but terrible drinks here.
They all suck except for this one that I'm now going to tell you.
Exactly.
You're the only person I'm ever going to tell.
Exactly.
It's the secret.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's the secret. So
bring
talk
this
about
golden
TV,
menu
right?
out.
Right, right, right. Right. It's exactly.
So, yeah.
Well, we have about a minute and a half left before we got to close things out. So, Kim, let's start with you. Tell people where they can find you at Latitude 29, like both like come see you at the bar and where they find you online and
absolutely.
All that stuff at the bar.
So we're over at Latitude 29. It's in the Bienville House Hotel on 221 South Peters. Latitude 29 NOLA is our Instagram, and you can also find us on the web. And you can always find Jeff's books and all sorts of fun things like tiki mugs and stuff through cocktailkingdom.com and also through Amazon.
Yeah, and so you guys do a great happy hour in there.
We do a great happy hour every day from 3 to 6, and our food is awesome.
Yeah, I dig it.
So, yeah.
Awesome. And Renee, where do we find you?
You can find me here at Mimi's in the Marigny, 2601 Royal in the corner of Royal and Franklin. We are online, mimismarigny.com, also Facebook. I do not believe we have an Instagram. But we do have the greatest tagline, 2 blocks from the river and 3 sheets to the wind.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Perfect.
That's so good.
Well, thanks both of you for being here and taking some time out today on a Tuesday. I know it's your day off, Kim, and you got to work a little bit later and later on in the day. So thanks. It was a pleasure having you both on. We'll do it again soon. Okay?
Absolutely.
Great.
Thank you so much.
Oh,
yeah,
my pleasure. Yeah. Absolute pleasure. Happy New Year, too.
Happy New Year.
Friends, thanks for tuning into the show. We're going to take a little break here. We're going to come back and close things out on the NOLA Drink Show, first show of 2018. Brian Diaz here with you. Happy New Year, everybody. We're going to take a little break, as I said. Come on back. Yellow Pocahontas, pretty night war hunters, and we don't bow down on nobody's ground. But I love to hear you call us Indian ring.
Are you tired of drinking the same wines? Switch it up. Try the Kreutz Family Cellars wine. Kreutz Family Cellars is a small, family-owned winery in Sonoma County that makes wines from some of the most prized vineyards throughout Northern California. Each bottle of Kreutz Family Cellars wines has a magnolia on the label. The magnolia is a symbol of the family's southern roots and their way of life. True, honest, and fun. Look for the magnolia and pick up a bottle of Kreutz Family Cellars wines today.
Time for lunch? We've got you covered at Sobu.
Chef Juan Carlos whipped up special two-course lunches that start at $14.
Try our Creole Cuban sandwich and pair it with a bowl of our gumbo.
Of course, Sobu's full menu is also available.
And don't forget Sobu's version of Commander's Palace 25-cent martinis.
Available Monday through Friday, 11:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m.
Join us at Sobu for our speedy lunch at 310 Charter Street in the Quarter.
Complimentary parking next door at the W Hotel.
Sobu, life is meant to be lived, not endured.
Hi, I'm Dickie Brennan, and I'd like to invite you to our new Black Duck Bar located on the second floor of Palace Cafe. Named after the Prohibition's infamous rum runner, the Black Duck features over 120 rums as well as an extensive tequila collection. In addition, acclaimed master French chef Rene Bageau heads up the small plates and charcuterie kitchen. Join us for happy hour Monday through Friday from 4 to 7 p.m. with half-price small plates, local draft beer, and tap wine.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Brian Diaz here with you, WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans and in podcast land, wherever you may be. Thanks for tuning in, friends. However you listen to us here at NOLA Drinks, I appreciate it sincerely. As always, hope you enjoyed that interview with Kimberly Patton Bragg and Renee Pellegrino, two friends of mine. And really cool. It's always fun, as I mentioned at the top of the show, they didn't know each other. I assume that they did. And a great interaction. It's always fun to get two people that don't know each other together and have a good chat and see just sort of what happens and what comes out. And it was also great to get away from, as I said, what was our very dude-heavy guest list lately, bring some new perspective and some new voices to recent shows anyway. So thanks to them for being there. Thanks to Mimi's, of course, right there on Royal Street in the Bywater, Royal and Franklin, for hosting us. And that's a cool spot. Go check it out. Good food. It's a cool neighborhood bar. Interesting place. Go check out Mimi's. Really cool. Wanted to mention a couple things that I didn't quite get to. So we mentioned the two streetcar parades going on this Saturday, and of course the 10th anniversary of Joan of Arc parade going on this Saturday in the Quarter. There's also going to be a celebration of a sort of the kickoff, I guess, if you will, of tricentennial activities, at least in 2018. A lot of stuff went back, you know, really was happening last year as well. But there will be fireworks on the river to celebrate 12th night, and I guess we'll have a bit of a tricentennial theme to it. So you can check that out, 9 o'clock on the river. Should be a pretty nice evening. Get away from this little cold snap we've had. If you're interested in more stuff about the tricentennial going on, there's a cool website that was set up a while back. It's called 2018NOLA.com, and that's 2018NOLA.com. And they've got some history of New Orleans, events to look for during the year, official merchandise, projects, all kinds of cool stuff. You can connect with them on social media. So that's a good resource there for more information. So go check that out. But I wanted to make sure, if you're going to be in town catching any of the other stuff, that you stick around and catch fireworks at 9 o'clock on the river, which is always fun. Another event going on too, which is going to be really fun. I believe it's the first iteration of this. We have a lot of food festivals in New Orleans, okay? And maybe people will argue that we have too many, or there's like everybody just finds a dish that hasn't been done, and then there's a food festival. Well, This one sounds really fun to me. It's going to be taking place. It's going to be the Tamale Festival, the New Orleans Tamale Festival. It's going to go from noon to 6 this Saturday at Poor Boys Bar at 1328 St. Bernard Avenue. And there's going to be tamales from 8 small homegrown vendors, including Mamitas, Hot Tamales, and a few other folks out there as well. Kind of the emphasis on mom and pop, as they said. This was the brainchild of Holly Tamale Hawthorne, I like that nickname, and Angela O'Neill Harbold, who's a line cook at Brennan's, and they both have a background from, you know, basically doing tamales all their lives, and they're putting on this festival, and they're, like I said, keeping it kind of small and homespun. They're going to have American-style tamales, New Orleans-style, Mexican-style, Texas-style. I can't wait to go see what all these styles are. I'm going to go check this out. Everything from the Gulf region, and one of the things that that Hawthorne says here, Holly Tamale Hawthorne, says is New Orleans is on what we call the Delta Tamale Trail. And she says, in the Gulf South area, ancient Native Americans' diets were mostly corn, and they had tamales. And then a lot of the old Creole and Black families had tamale shops all over New Orleans. Now, if you're listening from afar, you might kind of associate that tamales with Mexico and Central America. And of course, we have a big Honduran population. There's that influence. These styles, but as she mentioned, there's a tradition of what essentially is a tamale here in New Orleans. So that should really be a lot of fun. You can go check that out again. That is at Poor Boys Bar, 1328 St. Bernard Avenue. Friends, wanted to mention a couple little random bits and bobs here. One is a little bit of news out of the state of Ohio. Ohio has got a state-run liquor thing going on, and what they're going to be doing is retiring 700 liquor brands, including Patron, XO Dark Coffee Liqueur, Pinnacle Gin, Admiral Nelson Spice Rum, Sailor Jerry, excuse me, which I find kind of interesting. But the whole idea is they're going to be discounting a bunch of this stuff. So if you want to get up to Ohio and save some money, yeah, go figure. Do you really want to go to Ohio and save some money? I don't think it's worth it. But 700 brands between 25% and 40% beginning January 1st. And they want to clear the shelf space for more popular products and new-to-market products. Now, here's an interesting thing. Ohio does allow its craft distilleries to self-distribute, which is a good thing. Wouldn't that be good if we did that here? Anyway, commentary for another time. But for big brands and out-of-state distillers, they have to first be purchased and warehoused by the state before being distributed to local liquor stores. So it is a, you know, controlled state, and obviously the government agency there has entire control other than the local stuff of the brands, and they want to try and modernize their liquor enterprises under their new division of liquor control superintendent, a guy named Jim Canepa. The state has been issuing new permits for liquor stores. Ohio hasn't issued any new permits since 2015. This is in the Biz Journal, by the way, just so I'm giving proper credit out of Dayton there. Ohio hasn't issued any new permits since 2015, and only 3 new licenses across the state, none in the city of Cincinnati, in the last 5 years. And they're working to make sure that these stores ditch the, quote, seedy barred window stereotype of the past. They were asking new applicants to describe in their application how they're going to distinguish themselves in terms of look and feel, and with an emphasis on sophistication and knowledge. So trying to modernize this, I guess, as I said. Now, one of my little take here would be that perhaps what you want to do, if you want to have people have a better presentation, an emphasis on sophistication and knowledge and that sort of thing, is maybe you shouldn't do the state-controlled thing. Okay. And again, I'm going to leave the state of Louisiana out of this with what the second tier means here. But, you know, if you want people to innovate, and I'm not a complete bold capitalist free market guy. To me, free market doesn't work with everything. Okay. But in this instance, this is the perfect place for it. Let people actually compete with what brands they have, some wiggle room within legality of pricing, what their presentation is, their knowledge, their sophistication, all this stuff they want. That's probably not real good for a government regulated industry, as is the case in Ohio with their Division of Liquor Control Agency. So there's my thought. And some of the brands going away: Old Crow Reserve, Old Forester Mint Julep, a couple of the Sousa brands, kind of interesting. Remy Martin VS, kind of interesting. Seagram 7 Spiced going away. Wild Turkey 80, a lot of big stuff going away. So I'm curious to see how all that pans out. Here's another really kind of random one. The world's most expensive bottle of vodka has been stolen from a bar. This is in Denmark. And this just wasn't any bottle, according to this article, which is in the Metro out of the UK. It costs almost £1 million. Okay, yeah, £1 million, $1.3 million, I think, is the rate roughly these days. This just wasn't any bottle of vodka, as I said. This Russo-Baltic bottle was on loan to a Danish collector when it was seized from the Cafe 33 bar in the Vesterbro district of Copenhagen. And the bar owner, Brian Ingberg, told TV2, quote, "I had loaned the bottle from Russia from something called the Darts Factory, which makes the world's most expensive cars and vodka." two things that we tend to spend probably too much money on, like overpay for cars and overpay for vodka. Okay, yeah, $1.3 million for a bottle of vodka. It has been a part of, this guy goes on, Brian Ingberg, has been part of my collection for 6 months, but not anymore. Now, I don't understand, you're borrowing it and it's been loaned to you. So how is that part of your collection? It's not even yours anyway. It's just a display thing that you've had that you've borrowed. But okay, side point there. Guy says he's obviously very upset. It was, quote unquote, the icing on the cake in his collection of the 1,200 bottles that he had. This was a very special bottle. What makes it so expensive? There's a reward out on Facebook and all that kind of stuff. But what makes it so expensive, this $1.3 million bottle of vodka, is it's made with 3 kilograms of gold and 3 kilograms of silver. It was brought from Russia and produced by, as I said, the Latvian company. The company's called Darts Motors, which I guess, again, makes cars and vodka. Okay. It has a diamond-encrusted cap shaped like a Russian Imperial Eagle and is said to be adorned with a leather of a 1912 Monte Carlo rally car. And I guess it also featured in an episode of the Netflix drama House of Cards. Okay, there you go. So police, of course, are investigating the theft. As I said, people tend to overspend on cars and vodka. You don't need to, I mean, I don't know, who knows what the juice is. Obviously, the value, I'm kind of joking here, is the bottle. But go figure. And I still don't get how the part talks about it's in his collection, even though it was just loaned to him. And why would somebody loan that out anyway? Okay, I'm confused by the whole thing. I'm confused by the entire thing. $1.3 million vodka. Let's just start right there with my confusion. But kind of an odd story there out of Copenhagen, Denmark. Friends, next week coming up on the show, we're still working on it a little bit. I think what we're going to be doing is we're going to be talking to Neil Bodenheimer of a Cure Company. Of course, they run Cure on Ferret Street uptown and Cane and Table on Decatur Street in the French Quarter. But the big news is that Neil and Curico, I guess, I'm not sure if that's part of Curico or if he's doing it individually, along with the Solomon family, who is the Solomon Group, people that put on visual multimedia stuff, do the World War II Museum displays, things like that, are working to purchase Tales of the Cocktail. Big news there, and we've talked a lot about that on the show. So ideally, if we can work all this out, we're going to get with Neil and talk a little bit about that effort to procure Tales of the Cocktail and what we can expect moving forward here in 2018 with that important event. And lots of changes needed to Tales of the Cocktail, so we'll address that with Neil. If that doesn't work out, we'll figure out something else and we'll get Neil on soon. But we're trying to work all that in with our schedules. So friends, again, thanks for tuning in to NOLA Drinks. As always, I really appreciate it. Happy New Year. Happy 2018. Happy Tricentennial. New Orleans. Lots more coming on that on the show in the upcoming year, so stay tuned with us for that. And hey, remember, as always, be kind to one another. Use your turn signal. And until then, cheers, y'all.